but everyone around you. Kind of like a grenade that goes off. There's shrapnel, if you will, and it goes out and it affects everyone. You may say, well, I can manage it. I can handle it. I can control it. And I don't know what it is in your life that you feel like you're managing, handling, and controlling, but you know it's not good for you. You know that thing is not healthy God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This so happened here. The wages of sin was death immediately. What was the result of the Lord no longer being angry? What was the result? Now that the Lord was no longer angry, the people were able to once again move forward with their lives. And as a nation, they were able to conquer the city of Ai. Not only that, but this time, they were able to keep the plunder. This time, the Lord says, you can keep whatever it is that you find there that you want. It is yours. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai. Go, move forward. For I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king. But this time you can keep the plunder, or may keep the plunder, and the livestock for yourself. Set an ambush behind the town. What happens when you give to God first what rightfully belongs to Him? What happens when you and me give to God first what rightfully belongs to Him? Every good and perfect gift is from above. He'll bless you and me on the back end. He'll bless you and me on the back end. This is why the first check you write at the beginning of the month should be your tithe check. The first thing to come up out of my account and your account, it should be our giving to the Lord. It's not, I'll wait and see. And if I have any money left over at the end of the month, then I'll tithe what's left. This doesn't require faith. Right? That doesn't require faith, nor does it honor the Lord. Well, what did Joshua do after they defeated the city of Ai and the people of Ai? What did he do? What was his next step? Let's read on here. Chapter 8, verse 30 and 34 and 35. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. Joshua then read to them all the blessings and curses Moses had written in the book of instruction, every word of every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Wow! I read these verses and I say to myself, this sounds great. They built an altar to the Lord. They're reading His Word. I mean, what more could you ask for, right? However, here's where we need to be careful. Here's where you and me need to be careful. When things appear to be going good, why? Because that's when Satan attacks us. What do his attacks look like? They're usually subtle in nature. It won't hurt to take a quick peek at these Dennis Sims Sports Illustrated swimsuit pics that happen to appear on my Yahoo page. The new issue's coming out. After all, it's sports related. However, before you know it, you've clicked on every single one of those pictures. You've gone deeper and further than you ever intended to go. It won't hurt to have a glass of able to stray so far away from the truth? Well, first, you thought you were invincible. You thought you were invincible. Nothing can stop me now. Right? Nothing's going to get in my way. I'm going to do what I want when I want because it makes me feel good. You thought you were invincible. Second, you were in a vulnerable state. You were in a vulnerable state. Perhaps you were weak and tired. You worked all day and you were just looking for an escape from reality. Right? You worked all day. All week, it's a long week, and you are just looking to escape from reality. Third, you just came off a spiritual high. You came off a spiritual high. You went to church. You read your Bible. You thought you were okay. I'm always hit the hardest on Sunday nights. For me personally, I'm always attacked or hit the hardest on Sunday nights. Why? Because I've come off a spiritual high here in the morning. I met new people. I love to meet new people. Every week the Lord brings new people here. It's amazing to me. So thankful. God is so good to us. I shared His Word. I love to preach the Word, to talk about God's Word. The Bible. I've heard how you connected with the Lord this week. You or a friend or a family member. You tell me your story. Hey, you won't believe what happened to me this week. How God moved in my family or at my job or in my marriage. You won't believe it. And I love hearing all of that. It excites me. But when I come home, it leaves me feeling emotionally drained. I'm physically and mentally checked out for the rest of the day. And it's a perfect opportunity or time for Satan to attack me. What must I do? What must we do when we're in this state, if you will? Put on the armor of God. What's the armor of God? You know these verses. But just to refresh your memory, let's read them there. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not fighting against people. There's something deeper and bigger going on in our world today. But against who are we fighting against? Evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Things we can't even see. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's the type of battle we're fighting. Therefore, Paul says, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Now's that time. It's the evil world. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. Where do we find peace? We find peace in the Prince of Peace, in Jesus Christ. So that you will be fully prepared in addition to all of these. Hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Always hide God's Word in your mind and in your heart. So that when Satan is attacking you, you can say, you know what? Here's what God's Word says. Right? When I'm hungry for the things of this world, when I'm chasing after things that I know aren't healthy for me, I can say, man, does not live on bread alone, not on the junk and garbage in this world, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is what feeds me. This is what sustains me. Well, what position did the Israelites find themselves in? What position did these guys find themselves in? They just came off a spiritual high by defeating the people of Ai, this city. They built an altar to the Lord, and they're reading His Word. They're doing everything they could and should be doing. Then what happened? You know the story? You've read Joshua? The Gibeonites rolled into town. Who are the Gibeonites? Let's read on. Joshua chapter 9, verse 3. But when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to what? What did they resort to? Deception. To save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys in leather saddlebags and old patched wineskins. They put on worn out patched sandals and ragged clothes, and the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. When they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us. We want peace with you." They had heard about how God told them to destroy the people in the land. Why did God tell them to do that? If you remember, because He knew the way these people were living would influence His people to do the same. And so these people wised up and they're like, "Man, we got to do something." The Israelites replied to these Hivites, "How do we know you don't live nearby? How do we know you're not from around the hood here? For if you do, we cannot make a treaty with you." They replied, "We are your servants." "But who are you?" Joshua demanded. "Where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country. We have heard of the might of the Lord your God and of all He did in Egypt. We have also heard what He did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, King Sihon of Heshbon and King Oeg of Bashan, who lived in Asheroth. So our elders and all our people instructed us, our leaders instructed us, take supplies for a long journey. Go meet with the people of Israel and tell them, 'We are your servants. Make a peace treaty with us.' This bread was hot from our ovens when we left our home. But now, as you can see, it's dry and moldy. These wineskins were new when we filled them, but now they are old and split open. And our clothing and sandals are worn out from our very long journey." Notice this last phrase. Pay attention here. So the Israelites examined their food, but they didn't what? They didn't consult the Lord. They looked at the food, right? They forgot about the unseen world. They forgot about the Lord. They didn't consult the Lord. Why didn't they consult the Lord? Why didn't they ask God? Probably for the same reason we don't. We feel like we don't need to. What do we call that? Pride? Pride, right? I don't need to ask the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. I mean, the Lord isn't going to allow anything bad to happen to us. Surely He wants whatever it is that we want. Surely the Lord wants whatever it is that I want. Sometimes we live as if He exists to serve us. That's how we live. As if He exists to serve us. things are going well, when things are going good in our lives, we feel like we don't need the Lord. However, that's when we need Him the most. We just don't realize it. Why? Because our success has blinded us. Growing up, one of my best friends in high school was named Carl. Carl and I were pretty close, hung out all the time, and Carl felt like he didn't need the Lord. I would invite Carl to come to church with my family. I'd invite him to youth group. Carl's like, nah, I'm not interested. Reminds me of a graduation party a few weeks ago I was at. This guy had a Detroit Red Wings sweatshirt on, and I was all excited about it. Someone from Michigan. So I started talking to him, and within a few minutes I said, hey, let me tell you about our church, Stone Ridge Community Church. I don't know if you have a church home or not, but if you don't, I want to extend an invitation. I would love for you to come. He looked at me and he said, not interested. Not interested. Let's talk about the Red Wings. And I wanted to say, I'm not interested in my hockey team. I'm not that interested. But I did. We continued to talk. My friend Carl, let's get back to Carl. Carl felt like he didn't need the Lord. Why? Well, he was good looking. He could get any girl he wanted in our high school, and he did. He was always dating the best looking girl. He was an all-A student who never had to study. I was always studying in high school. I don't know how kids got their work done in school, but I was always studying after school. I guess I was slow. Special ed. I don't know. He was the best basketball player on the team. He was the center. He could dunk a basketball. He was the best. He honestly was good at everything. However, fast forward years later, and you'll find out he wasn't good at marriage. He's divorced. Why? I imagine it's because he felt he didn't need the Lord. He and his family didn't need the Lord. They didn't need the Lord in their family. Now that the Lord has gotten a hold of his attention, I talked to Carl not too long ago. He's attended church. In fact, he's reading his Bible. He's in a small group. What was the consequence of Joshua not thinking that he needed to consult the Lord? Not feeling like he needed the Lord? Continuing on Joshua 9:15. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety. And the leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath. 3 days after making the treaty, they learned that these people actually lived where? Nearby. The Israelites set out at once to investigate and reached their towns in 3 days. But the Israelites did not attack their towns or the towns, for the Israelite leaders had made a vow to them in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. The people of Israel grumbled against their leaders because of the treaty. But the leaders replied, since we have sworn an oath in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel, we can't touch them. We made a promise. We swore an oath. This is what we must do. We must let them live. For divine anger would come upon us if we broke our oath. Let them live. So they made them woodcutters and water carriers for the entire community, as the Israelites directed. About to wrap up here in a minute. Maybe, you made a vow or swore an oath without I wasn't seeking the Lord. I wasn't asking the Lord. I wasn't consulting the Lord. Does this mean my life or my marriage is over? No. In fact, shortly after this, these people, the Gibeonites, they were attacked by the Amorites. What did the Israelites do? They defended them. They made an oath. What did the Lord do? He gave them victory. And it wasn't just any kind of victory. It was a miraculous victory. The sun stood still, and the moon stayed in place. How cool is that? God was fighting for them. And I want you to know today that God is fighting for you. All of the stuff, all of the junk you've been through, God hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't given up on you. He's fighting for you. The mistakes, the things you committed to and maybe shouldn't have. Let's read on as we close with our last scripture here. Chapter 10, verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory. The Lord gave it. The Lord gives you and me victory. Victory comes from who? The Lord. Over the Amorites. Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, let the sun stand still. That's a pretty cool prayer. I've never prayed that one. I like to pray it in the winter months here when it's dark at like 4 o'clock, right? Keep the sun standing still, Lord, so it's light out till 9. But let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Aijon. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. God gave them enough light to see. God will give you the light you need to see out of your situation. The sun stayed in the middle of the sky, and it did not set as on a normal day. It wasn't a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since. When the Lord answered such a prayer, the sun stood still. Surely the Lord fought for Israel on that day. Surely the Lord fights for his people. Surely the Lord fights for you and me. Closing with three statements here. God wants to give you victory in your life, in your marriage. God wants to give you victory in your life and in your marriage. He wants the best for you. However, you must be dependent upon Him. I love this opening video that we played. This lady that was struggling with alcohol, she said what? It's a moment by moment, day by day, dependence upon the Lord. And that's what our days are really like, right? You and I must decide to consult the Lord first before anyone else. Oh, how I wish I could follow my own advice. I would be a better preacher and a better man if I could. For often I do the exact opposite of what I preach and what the word. the first verse, it like smacked me in the face. I was like, well, duh. Here's what it says. That's what God's word does to us. It just kind of smacks us back into where we need to be, right? So if you haven't read your Bible in a while, I want to encourage you to read it. You can go to all your friends, you can go to all your family, asking them for all the advice. But you need God. You and me need the Lord first. We need to consult Him first before we run to anyone else. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I haven't been running to the Lord. I've been running to this person, I've been running to this thing, I've been running everywhere but where I need to run, and it's to the Lord. I've been avoiding the Lord. Listen, the Lord has a message for you. He wants to talk to you. He loves you. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I've never asked the Lord into my heart. Never asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. I've been living my own life, doing my own thing. I'm Carl in your story. Never felt like I needed.